March 29, 1989, Chapel Service, Spring Revival, Dr. Delos Miles, Professor of Evangelism.
Thank you. If you are seeking a place to stand in God's economy, consider the words of the Apostle Paul in the Whole Armor of God passage from Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let us turn now to hymn number 325 and stand together and sing the hymn Footsteps of Jesus.
As we gather as community, we remember those among us who are in special need of our prayers. Many of you have heard that Gerald Fountain, the husband of Jan Fountain, who works in our business office, had triple bypass surgery on Monday. And when I talked with Jan, she was very encouraged about his progress. We have been praying for Kenneth Kuhn and his father for the last several weeks. And his father died Monday after a 10-year battle with cancer. The funeral is today in Fayetteville, Georgia. I talked with Kenneth yesterday. He said that before his father lapsed into a coma about 3 days prior to his death, that they had some good time together. The whole family was there, and they were able to sit around and talk together. And he felt good about his father letting go. We want to continue to remember Brenda Edwards, who is at home trying to recover from 2 broken ankles. She is at home in Georgia and is missing this community very much. And we also want to continue to remember Dr. Ben Philbeck and his wife Jo as they deal with Ben's illness. Let us pray together. We come to you, O God, to offer our prayers for and from this community. We offer our prayers of confession for the times that we have done less than our best, for the times we have hurt each other with our words, and for the times that we have done our will and not even sought to know your will and that it might differ from ours. We offer our prayers of intercession for those among us who are hurting, grieving, and frightened, those that have been mentioned, and those that we silently raise to you now. We offer our prayers of petition, petitioning for your strength to face the days ahead, for your love to reach out beyond ourselves, and for your peace to work for justice and peace in our world. We close with our prayers of thanksgiving, O God, that you are our God, that your promises are sure, that we are called children of God, and so we are. We pray these prayers in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Our scripture lesson is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 18, verse 24. Exodus 18, verse 24. And then in the New Testament, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. John 16, verses 12 through 15. First, the law, and then the gospel. So Moses gave heed to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. How can I know the will of God? That's the question often in the hearts and upon the lips of those who would obey God. How can I know the will of God? A preliminary answer is, you can never know the complete will of God on this side of eternity. Because God makes his will known progressively, one step at a time. He opens one door, you go through that door. Then he opens another door, you go through that passage, and so on through life. If that were not true, persons would walk by sight instead of by faith. Although we cannot know the perfect will of God in this world, God has erected certain signposts along the road of life to help us find his way. And if we will follow those signposts faithfully, we shall journey safely through this world, and in the end, we shall stand before the throne of God in heaven. How can I know the will of God? You may discover God's will through your conscience. The Bible speaks of a conscience bearing witness through the Holy Spirit. There used to be a television program entitled Lost in Space. If you have seen that program, you will recall that a party of people is lost somewhere in outer space. And there is this sophisticated robot, the creation of the brilliant but cowardly Dr. Smith. This robot is forever standing sentry duty. When danger comes near, the robot automatically cries out, "Warning, warning, danger approaching." Our God has built into every human being a moral and spiritual robot called the conscience. The conscience stands sentry duty over our souls, warns us of approaching danger, and helps us to know the difference between right and wrong. Yet in all fairness, I should warn you that the conscience is not an infallible guide. The Bible also speaks of a conscience which has been burnt with a hot iron, so that over that conscience has grown scarred and hardened tissues, which make it insensitive to receiving commands from God. If your conscience has not been burnt with some red-hot iron, it may help you to know what God's will is for your life, and what God's will is concerning the issues of life. How can I know the will of God? You may discover God's will through common sense. God has given to most persons the five senses of sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And fortunately for humankind, God has also given to most persons a sixth sense known as common sense. Now, common sense may be thought of as that sense which enables us to make good sense out of the other five senses. As such, it is a gift from God to help us with a multitude of daily decisions and also with some of the big problems of life. For example, if you faint at the sight of blood and can't possibly stand to look at an open wound, plain old common sense will tell you that a career as a medical missionary is probably not for you. Or to take another example, if you flunk all of your courses in Hebrew and can't possibly conjugate the most simple Greek verb, common sense will tell you that teaching biblical languages is not your cup of tea. You see, if we would just follow common sense, we could avoid some heartaches and a whole lot of headaches, because common sense is a gift from God to help us know what His will is for our lives. How can I know the will of God? You may discover God's will through the church, the people of God, your brothers and sisters in God's forever family. George W. Truett, a great preacher of a previous generation, discovered something about God's will for his life through the church. Truett was a layman in his congregation, very active, but he had never thought much about becoming a preacher. Occasionally, when his pastor would leave the city, he would invite Truett to fill in for him, but even then, Truett refused to come up on the platform and stand behind the pulpit. As he talked with the people, he insisted that he stand right there in front of them on the same level with them. Well, one Saturday, Truett's congregation gathered for a business conference. For some reason, he was absent that day. One of the men stood up and suggested that he believed God was calling George Truett to become a preacher. They discussed this matter back and forth at some length until they all became of one mind, one heart, and one soul on the matter. They sent a committee to talk with Truett about it. He was quite surprised. He spent a lot of time in prayer. But in the end, he found out that the church was right and became one of the greatest preachers this world has known. The single wisdom of a solitary Christian is seldom as valid as the combined wisdom of the body of Christ. And if we are wise, we shall always test our individual perception of God's will for us against the perception of our brothers and sisters in the church. Certainly, this community of faith and every church in the world ought to daily pray that God will make His will known to its individual members through the corporate fellowship of believers. How can I know the will of God? You may discover God's will through the advice of some other person. It may be a friend, a loved one, an enemy, or a total stranger. The point is, often it has pleased God to make His will known through other human beings. For example, in our scripture lesson from Exodus 18, Moses learned something about God's will for his life through the advice of his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses was spending all of his time from early in the morning until late in the evening judging the people, counseling with them about their problems. When his father-in-law saw what was happening, he said, "What you're doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out and all these people along with you. I would suggest that what you do is number the people by thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Set judges over each of those segments. Let them deal with the smaller problems and have them to bring only the big problems to you." It may seem like a small piece of advice to us, but it was a very big piece of advice to Moses and to the nation Israel at that particular point in her history. I think I shall never forget the advice which came to me many years ago from a total stranger. I had gone downtown to Columbus, Georgia, to pick up a suit from the cleaners shortly before being discharged from the Army at Fort Benning. While waiting on my suit, I struck up a conversation with an elderly retired school teacher. I told this gentleman that soon I was to be discharged and I planned to become a preacher. He said, "Well, young man, let me give you one little piece of advice. Start low, aim high, and then strike fire." Those colloquial words may not mean a thing to you, but for some reason I've never been able to forget them. Somehow they became a word from God to me through a total stranger. So through all these years I've tried to build my ministry, my future, my family around that one little piece of advice. Start low, aim high, and then strike fire. The writer of Hebrews reminds us of the possibility of entertaining angels unawares. In other words, we never know how God will send his messengers to us. Sometimes they come in disguise, and if we are wise, we shall keep our hearts open and our ears listening to hear a word from God from every human being whom we meet. Because every person with whom we come into contact along life's way is a potential conveyor of a word from God to us. How can I know the will of God? You may discover God's will through reading biblical, biographical, and devotional literature. Much of the Bible is a record of men and women who sought, found, and followed God's will for their lives. Therefore, if we neglect the Bible in seeking to find God's will for our lives, we overlook a potential gold mine of information and inspiration. I once heard a professor of missions say, "More persons have devoted their lives to missionary service because of the life and influence of David Brainerd than any other person outside the Bible." Well, who in the world was David Brainerd? He was a missionary to the American Indians during the first half of the 18th century. He died at the age of 29, having literally burnt his life out in the service of Jesus Christ as he ministered to the Indians. But fortunately for us, David Brainerd kept a diary, and following his death, Jonathan Edwards, who later became president of what is now Princeton University, took that diary and encompassed it into a biography. So that ever since, as men and women have pored over the pages of that diary and that biography and seen how God worked through the life of David Brainerd, they have caught a glimpse of how God might work through their lives also. If you and I would read that kind of literature and see how God has worked in the lives of others, we might gain some insights into how he wants to work through our lives also. One of my spiritual heroes for many years now has been John Wesley, the man in whose heart God built a fire which continues to warm our world through Methodism. I was very much surprised as I began to seriously study John Wesley's life to find that long before his heartwarming experience on Aldersgate Street in London, Wesley had read the great devotional classics, books such as John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Thomas A. Kempis's The Imitation of Christ, William Law's A Serious Call to Devout and Holy Life, Jeremy Taylor's Holy Living and Holy Dying, and many more. And I'm convinced that the reading of these devotional books had something to do with John Wesley's heartwarming experience on Aldersgate Street in London. And I'm suggesting that if you and I would read that kind of literature, God might build a fire in our hearts which would warm this world until Jesus returns. Richard Baxter, the great preacher of Kidderminster, England, who originated that phrase, "Preach as a dying man to dying men," because he was always so sickly, he thought the sermon he was then preaching might be his last one, was converted to Jesus Christ after reading a little devotional book called Bunny's Resolutions. We don't know much about that book, but evidently it was the golden key which unlocked the kingdom of God to Richard Baxter. If you and I would read that kind of devotional literature, God might give us some golden key which would unlock the door behind which we would find his will for our lives. How can I know the will of God? You may discover God's will through the Holy Spirit who lives within you if you are a Christian. This is what the Quakers call that of God which is in every person, the Christ within you, the inner light. Jesus is talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in making God's will known to his disciples in our scripture lesson from John 16, when he says in effect to his disciples, "Listen, men, I have a lot of things which I should like to share with you, howbeit you're not mature enough to hear them yet. But after I've gone, I'm going to send one after me, the Holy Spirit, who will reveal these hard truths to you. He will show you things to come. He will teach you things about me. He will illuminate the darkness of your minds and hearts." Now, I know some Christians have made extravagant claims and insisted that the Holy Spirit was the author of those claims. But when we have made proper allowances for religious crackpots, charlatans, and plain old liars, the fact remains that if we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, God's Spirit lives in our mortal bodies. He illuminates the darkness of our minds and hearts. He reveals to us what the will of God is. In fact, one of the greatest teachers we have is the Holy Spirit. We ought to thank God for all of our human teachers in the church. They're some of God's best gifts to his body. But the greatest teacher of them all is God's Spirit. And when God's Spirit bears witness with our human spirits to the rightness of an idea or to the correctness of a particular course of action, we had better obey God instead of persons. How can I know the will of God? You may discover God's will through a deepening friendship with him. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. In other words, Enoch was God's friend. Daily he walked and talked with God. One day Enoch got so close to God's home that God invited him to come and live with him forever, and he did not have to taste a physical death. That's the kind of friendship after which you and I ought to strive for with God. I used to wonder how it was that Abraham, living in Haran and before that in Ur of Chaldea, recognized and instantly obeyed that voice which told him to leave his hometown, to go out and search for a place which would be revealed to him. I'm not sure what the answer is, but I think it may be found in Abraham's friendship with God, because so far as I can tell, he's one of the few persons whom the Bible calls the friend of God. Well, of course Abraham recognized that voice and instantly obeyed the command, because he had been walking and talking with God. He was God's friend. When God spoke to him, he knew his voice. I can tell you a lot more about what my friends think, feel, and want than I can about folk whom I don't know, and so can you, and the same thing is true in our relationship with God. If we really want to know what God thinks, how God feels, what God wills, then let us become God's friend. Let us daily walk and talk with God, and the closer we get to God, the better we shall know what he would have us to do. At least one thing remains to be said about the will of God. It is said by Jesus in the Gospel of John, "If any man will do his will," referring to the Father's will, "he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God." In other words, Jesus was saying, if a person is willing to obey God's will, God will make his will known to that individual. God makes his will known to those who are willing to do his will. The world passes away, and the lust of it. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Let us pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be both honor and glory, now and forevermore. Amen.